The storm there had almost been exploded away. A fireball was climbing heavenward. Spreading, rolling masses of coiling smoke and flame were rising to incredible heights. Daylight was dimmed by the flash. It looked like the world had been torn apart. 6. Sir Robert hardly waited for the earth to cease rumbling. He did not even ask himself what it could be. He had only one idea in mind, to get his hands loose and help Johnny. He had seen the arrow strike Johnny. He had seen the lad pull it out. Sir Robert knew it was a poisoned arrow, and he had some idea of the consequences. After such venom entered, physical exertion would spread it all through the body much more quickly, and Johnny had been moving violently. When the hatchet had cut the cord, it had not gone all the way through. Sir Robert strained every sinew to part the remaining strands. It was dark as pitch in this dome. He could not even see where Johnny had fallen or which way he lay. But these confines were very close. He could and must get to him, even though it was probably already too late. He almost tore the skin off his wrists. The cord parted. In feverish haste, he reached out, felt around, and found Johnny's arm, the wounded arm. Sir Robert closed his huge hand around it, just below the armpit, and held it tight, shutting off the blood flow. The hatchet had fallen here somewhere. The rocking must have sent it skidding. Moaning with urgency, Sir Robert felt around the metal floor, under the console, under Johnny. Suddenly, his fingers contacted its handle in a corner. He got hold of the head, just back of the blade. He tried to cut through Johnny's radiation suit sleeve. It was so hard to work with just one hand, and in the dark. He was also trying desperately not to cut into Johnny's flesh. He got a fold of the suit and sawed through it. The hatchet had been dulled and chipped while cutting the cables. The leaded sleeve material was very resistant. He was not making it, not with one hand. Suddenly he remembered that Johnny always had thongs in his pouch. It lay under his body, but he got it loose. He reached in and found broken glass that sliced his fingers. He paid it no attention. He found the end of a long thong and drew it out. He put a piece of twisted mine lamp metal under the arm and against the artery and wrapped it around and in place with the thong. He drew the thong as tightly as he could and tied it. Now he could work. He cut the radiation suit sleeve away just below the tourniquet. He stripped it off the arm. The cloth was matted with blood. The arm was slippery with it. It was hard to find the wound because of the blood. He found it. He took the edge of the hatchet blade and cut an X across the wound hole. He got out of his air mask and put his mouth to the wound. Anything to get all the poison out that he could. Time and time again he sucked the wound dry and spat. The taste of the blood was stinging and bitter. There was venom in it, all right. Finally, he thought the blood was cleaner. He did not know how deep the arrow had gone, but there was no way to probe. He worked the flesh of the arm in a way he thought would force more poison up to the surface of the wound. He again applied his mouth to it. Yes, there was more bitterness. Then it seemed cleaner. Sir Robert felt around Johnny's belt for a wound compress pack. He didn't find one. Well, the bleeding was slightly less now. Maybe no vein had been hit. It was probably better without a compress. He felt the pulse of Johnny's other wrist. Devils in hell, it was racing. The pulse was way above anything he could count. Johnny's body was stretched taut. There was a tremble in the limbs. Sir Robert, in the dark, tried to find the ampule in Johnny's pouch. Planning dictated there should be one. That broken glass might have come from the mine lamp. He found the bottom half of the ampule. Although he couldn't see what he was doing, and it was just a gesture more than anything else, he opened the wound and upended the broken bottle over it, close to it, pouring in anything that might be in it. He held and massaged the flesh in such a way as to let any liquid drop lower in the wound. It was probably just his imagination, he thought, but the arm area felt slippery. He felt the pulse. It was racing faster, if anything, and the limbs were trembling more. Had he done all he could? He couldn't think of anything more. The air was getting used up in this close space, and he put his air mask back on. Johnny's radiation mask was in the way, and he took it off and checked the air mask under it. The flutter valve was moving slightly, but very rapidly. In briefing, they were supposed to put in a new bottle just before the first alert. If Johnny had done that, he had 2 hours of air. Sir Robert sank back. He worked the bonds off his ankles and then straightened Johnny's body out and raised Johnny's head to his own knee to keep the head higher. Double devils in hell, but the limbs trembled. He thought the situation over. He had not been in on the last briefings. He did not know whether there had been anything he should know now. Bitterly, Sir Robert cursed his own stupidity. Since things had been going so smoothly with the Academy move, one night he had walked by himself, like a daft sheep, to a knoll to look at the compound. Not really any purpose in it. Just a review of the field where a battle would soon be fought. And Brigantes had grabbed him. They must have been watching him for days. They had trussed him up and kept him in a cavern. They had tried to interrogate him and had beaten him. His nose was broken and full of dried blood even now. But he was too old a campaigner to talk. He did not know what they wanted with him until they brought him into the compound area and dumped him. He had not really thought they would take him to Cyclo until they put the air mask on him. The thought had made even him sweat. He had an excellent example of how the Cyclos interrogated Allison. Sir Robert had been braced to stand up to it. He had known of this attack, but he could not see how he could be fished out. A flamethrower was supposed to sweep that platform clean. And then this lad had thrown his flamethrower down and attacked. It looked like such a hopeless effort. Because of Sir Robert, this lad had thrown away his own chances. His own life? Sir Robert felt the pulse again. Good God, how long could a pulse race like that without a person dying? He began to get uneasy about the silence outside. There was supposed to be a standby rescue crew deep in the old compound, waiting with flatbeds and planes with both Dr. Allen and Dr. McKendrick, all in radiation suits and air masks. It was so silent in here. Was that a slight crackling sound? Johnny would have had a mine radio. Sir Robert felt around Johnny's belt and then scrabbled around the floor. He had it. A crackling sound was coming out of it. It was live, but no voices. Were they all dead out there? He pressed the transmit button. Hello? Hello? Not clever to say more. Who knew who might be out there? Silence. Hello? Hello? Then he thought he'd better give them a location. Not clever, but he had to do it. Console talking. Was that the click of a transmit switch? Then a voice in a whisper as though from far away. Is that you, Sir Robert? It was Thor's voice. Sir Robert almost wept with relief. Thor? Yes, Sir Robert. Thor, Johnny is in here. He has had a poisoned arrow in him. You've got to get him out quick. Then Dr. Allen.
Sir, do you have a radiation suit on?
No, blast ye. I've no suit.
To hell with that. Get the lad out.
Sir, is his suit whole?
Sir Robert realized he had torn the sleeve off.
No.
I'm sorry, sir,
whispered Dr. Allen over the mine radio.
To open that dome would kill you both. Have a little patience. We're trying to find out what we can do.
Patience be domned,
stormed Sir Robert. His extreme urgency was throwing his speech into dialect.
Get the lad out!
There was no answer. Sir Robert was about to start banging on the inside of the dome. Didn't they realize Johnny was probably dying in here? Then a tiny piping whispering voice took over.
Sir Robert?
It was one of the young Buddhist communicators, probably the youngest they had. They had turned him over to a child. The war chief was about to thunder a damnation at them when the child whispered, speaking Cyclo,
Sir Robert, they are doing all they can, honored sir. It is pretty bad out here.
Where are you?
demanded Sir Robert, reverting to Cyclo.
I am just outside the dome, honored sir. My mind radio is inside my air mask, under my radiation face shield. Excuse me that I whisper. We want nothing picked up by the visitors above. They can't hear this, and the mind radio won't reach them.
What are the visitors doing?
I don't know, Sir Robert. The snow clouds have closed in again. I see a pilot communicator. I will ask. I will be right back.
There was a long pause. Then the tiny, shrill little voice.
Sir, the pilot communicator says they have moved in orbit and are somewhere above us. They have this place being looked at. But our battle planes are standing by. Dunnel Dean is up there. He wants to know how we are. How is Lord Johnny?
Sir Robert felt the shaking limbs of the body resting against him, but he knew morale was a factor up there in the sky. He could not tell them he thought Johnny was dying, but Johnny was still alive.
Tell them they should not worry just now.
The child was gone for a bit. Then the tiny whispering voice.
The pilot communicator passed it on.
What are they doing here to get us out?
Demanded Sir Robert. What hell it was, sitting here in the dark waiting. Johnny's breathing was too rapid by far.
It's very bad out here, Sir Robert, very bad. If you hear crackling, it's the power lines. They are all shorted out and burning on the ground, throwing sparks.
Are there any casualties in the raiding party?
Oh, we don't know that, Sir Robert. The rescue team is using blade scrapers to uncover the coffins. I'm standing beside a hole where the platform used to be. It's smoking. Is it hot in there?
Sir Robert had not noticed. Then he realized that the dome was warm to the touch. He said so.
I'm told to tell you not to release the annealing lever on the dome skids. It is a wonder that they held. So don't release the lever. They will move the whole metal platform.
Somebody else was coming through on the channel.
Dwight! Can you hear us? Dwight!
The tiny voice of the child said,
They found his coffin under the ravine bank just now. The bank caved in on it. They have found a forklift in the garage that operates, and they are lifting the coffin. They are opening the lid. Dwight looks stunned, but he is sitting up.
They should be working on this dome, raged Sir Robert.
Oh, there's a whole other team working on it, honored sir. They are bringing a small crane out of the lower levels of the compound now. I see a man throwing clamps on the big crane. It is on its side, and they have to lift it upright.
Sir Robert was getting an idea of what it was like out there.
We were down in the 16th level,
said the tiny voice.
The concussion was bad. It grabbed air out of the place, but nothing was heard.
Well, what was it? What happened?
Demanded Sir Robert.
We don't know, honored sir.
They had some nuclear weapons on standby. Did they explode?
There was a pause. The child had gone off somewhere. He came back.
No, sir. Thor says they are intact and he is awfully relieved. They didn't explode.
Then what was it?
I am so very sorry, sir. None of us knows. Oh, here comes a blade scraper to loosen your platform so it can be lifted. The first one they had broke down after they got the fire out of it. I am told you must be patient, sir. We are doing all we can.
Then,
they've got three more coffins out now.
A pause. Then, sorrow.
The one they call Andrew is dead.
The platform gave a jolt as the blade scraper seemed to pry under it. Sir Robert could hear a motor roar. There was a shout of alarm and then a crash. Then the piping little voice,
One of the poles fell in the crater. No one was hurt. Here comes your flatbed truck, sir.
Flatbed? Barked Sir Robert. It's supposed to be a plane. We're supposed to airlift out of here.
There was a pause. The Buddhist communicator had gone off somewhere. He came back.
They have found a river to the south. It is the Purgatoire. The pilots told us.
Sir Robert felt Johnny's pulse, racing.
I don't understand, cried Sir Robert.
Time is everything here. I need serum. Can't we lift this dome and push some serum in here?
I am sorry, Sir Robert. The Purgatoire is 120 miles south of here. It's on an ancient man-highway.
He rushed on so Sir Robert wouldn't interrupt.
They have mine pumps out. All our equipment and planes are contaminated. They have to be hosed down to get rid of radiation. When that's done, they can open the dome.
Sir Robert clenched his fists.
120 miles. How long would that take?
The child must have been reading his thoughts.
I am told they will drive very fast. They can on the ancient highway. Thor himself will drive your flatbed. They know how important it is. Your flatbed will be the first to leave. They have your crane standing up now.
There was another chunk from the blade scraper. Something under the platform seemed to tear loose.
They have found 15 coffins now, said the child. The Scots in them were all alive except one. The coffin was blown into the air and smashed his skull. The lead on the outside of the coffins is all melted, the tops, I mean. They're hot to the touch, and it's hard to handle them.
There was a groan and a squeak as the crane hook on top of the dome tightened. They were being very careful from the sound of it not to drop the lower platform off. The annealing skids held. Sir Robert felt them swinging in the air, then a thump as they hit the top of the flatbed body. They picked it up again to let it drop down more squarely. The child must still be standing on the platform overhanging. The tiny voice calmly came through.
I can see better from here. It's not snowing. Way out on the plain over there, I see some bodies. Must be the Brigante tribe. And I can see more coffins.
He yelled to someone and must be pointing.
The whole top of the old compound had blown off. It's wide open to the winds.
Sir Robert was feeling Johnny's pulse. Was it weaker?
Thor is turning over to someone. He is climbing in your truck now. He says he's a good driver. Don't worry. He will go as fast as he can. Excuse me, but I am supposed to get in the cab and tie a seatbelt.
The flatbed started up with a roar. It jolted and banged over the uneven terrain. Sir Robert steadied Johnny's head. Was he still breathing? They hit the ancient man highway. The engine revved into a high-pitched scream. Sir Robert remembered Johnny had had a watch. He tried to find its illumination button. The numbers were rolling. They were driving so fast, Sir Robert could hear the wind roaring outside the dome. Time, time, time. 50 minutes. 52 minutes. 59 minutes. The flatbed abruptly slowed. It jolted down some rough ground. It halted with a surge. It dropped to the earth. The small piping voice again.
We are at the river bank. There is plenty of water. They are rigging a mine pipe. I must get away from the dome while it is washed down. I have to get washed down myself, and so do the others. Then they will test with breathe gas.
Water was suddenly pounding against the dome. It roared and reverberated inside. The sound went all around. And then the water went all over the flatbed, apparently. There was silence then. Then the piping voice.
Sir Robert, the truck with the small crane has arrived and has been washed down. So have I. Can you find the release lever in there? The one outside is bent.
Sir Robert had already located and indeed had been on the verge of pulling it an hour ago. He yanked it open. There was a roar and a clank as a crane was moved closer and connected. The dome lifted. Murky daylight hit his eyes. Johnny was lying there. Was he breathing? The owner of the small voice was standing there, dripping water, visor and air mask off. He was about 13.
My name is Kwong. Thank you for being so patient with me, Sir Robert. I was as worried as you.
Dr. Allen jumped up on the flatbed. He had a syringe in his hand and was grabbing Johnny's arm. A woman nurse took over. She was holding Johnny's head. Sir Robert stood up unsteadily. He was drenched with sweat and the wind was cold. He looked to the north. The sky was glowing there.
What's that?
He demanded. Thor was there, another member of the rescue team. More trucks were arriving further downstream. Thor said, "That's Denver." Sir Robert stared. They had just come from hell.